word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than purest honey. As we turn to your scripture, send your Holy Spirit to infuse your word with truth and grace, so that the good news of your love would shine before our eyes and delight our senses, so that we cannot help but respond with wonder, faith, and trust. Amen. Today's scriptures reveal how to perceive God in your daily life, how to sense God's peace in crisis, and how to experience joy after suffering. God is wisdom and beauty. God is always striving to connect with you, to give you love and wisdom. If you love God, seek God, and desire God, then you will find God in your daily life, in your every thought. Scripture proclaims, "Wisdom is radiant and unfading, and she is easily discerned by those who love her and is found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known to those who desire her. One who rises early to seek her will have no difficulty, for she will be found sitting at the gate. To fix one's thought on her is perfect understanding, and one who is vigilant on her account will soon be free from care, because she goes about seeking those worthy of her. And she graciously appears to them in their paths and meets them in every thought." Jesus commands us to give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Joshua urges us to remember what God has done throughout human history and what God has done in your own life. Joshua urges us to tell each other what God is doing. Out of gratitude for all God has, is, and will do for us, Joshua urges us to follow his example of serving God. Joshua said, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Serving the Lord is making daily choices to love God and love others. Serving the Lord is worshiping God instead of idols such as money, people-pleasing, acquiring and holding on to stuff, a desire to be in control, fear, hate, partial truth-telling, thinking you are better than or know more or are wiser or more faithful or less sinful than another person. Idols such as a desire to get ahead at any cost, holding a grudge, and on and on. There are numerous idols clamoring for our attention. Joshua urges us to make wise choices. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua invites us to have enough courage to regularly examine our life, to be really honest with ourselves about our sins, to name the idols that we are worshiping. Joshua invites us to remember how God has forgiven others and ourselves in the past, to remember how Jesus came and saved us from all our mistakes, to remember how God has healed and restored joy. Inspired by God's grace, we are encouraged to renew our commitment again and again to love God. Joshua does not judge or tell us what to do. Rather, he states how he will love and serve God. Joshua gives each individual the freedom to choose another way. Yet Joshua is eager to welcome anyone back, no matter how many times they have chosen to serve idols. For Joshua, every day is a new day in which we get to choose who we will serve. Jesus told the disciples that in a few days he will be crucified and then will rise from the dead. Jesus explains how on earth there will be struggles as the glorious kingdom of heaven slowly, ever so slowly, breaks into our world and our lives. Jesus tells the disciples a parable about how one's faith can sustain one through this struggle. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." When Jesus told this parable, it was the custom for the groom to travel with his friends and family to move the bride from her family home to their new home. Young women of both families would help the bride pack and get ready. When the groom arrived, everyone would gather the bride's belongings and they would travel together to their new home. The bride and groom entering the new home was the symbolic act of marriage and the beginning of a festive celebration that often lasted for days. In those days, there were no street lamps, batteries, electricity, or any illumination switch on one's camel or donkey. So having a lamp to light one's way was essential. The wise prepared for night with a lamp full of oil to safely guide one through the obstacles to their destination. A flame is a symbol for one's faith. Oil is a symbol of what one does to fuel the flame, such as seeking God's wisdom, sharing God's sightings, being grateful for God's blessings, serving and choosing to love God and others. The word used for wise in our parable denotes one who seeks God and strives to live God's will. A foolish person lives without any regard to God's love in their life and insists on doing things their own way. There are key moments when our family and friends need us to be wise and ready, that is, aware of God's love, faithful. Moments when we need to be there to celebrate, help, listen, cry, hug, or to say the right words. If we are nurturing our relationship with God, then God gives us wisdom to our thoughts so we know what to do and not to do. Wisdom and faith, one's oil, is built up by one's daily choices to love God and love people. For the most part, it is impossible for a wise person to share their oil because oil, that is the fuel for one's faith, comes from experiences resulting from one's daily choices. A disciple went to Rabbi Nachman and said, "I shall not continue with my studies of sacred texts. I live in a small house with my brothers and parents and never have the ideal conditions for concentrating on that which is important." Nachman pointed to the sun and asked his disciple to place his hand over his face in order to hide it. The disciple obeyed. "Your hand is small," he told the disciple, "yet it can completely cover the light of the great sun." In the same way, such small problems manage to give you the excuse you need in order to hinder your progress on your spiritual journey. Just as your hand has the power to hide the light of the sun, mediocrity has the power to hide your inner light. Do not blame others for your own incompetence. Cultivating our faith, nurturing our relationship with God, remembering God's activity in our life, seeking beauty and wisdom gives us wisdom to do, listen, say, or be the right thing when someone needs us. If we are unprepared for the moment, the door is shut that moment is gone. We miss the joy, eager to be savored with another in that moment. And we do not get a do-over. Unfortunately, I have a long list of these moments. Moments when I was driven to complete a home improvement project and was grumpy and not considerate of the needs and feelings of those around me. Moments when I didn't know what to say, so I blurted out something that was not helpful instead of remaining silent and listening. Moments when I thought I knew what the right thing to do was, and since I like being in control, I blazed forward without getting the perspectives of others. Moments when I said or did something that made the moment a bitter moment, when it could have been a moment of joyful celebration. Moments when I simply put my foot in my mouth. Examine your life. How are you foolish? How have you messed up moments? How will you be ready for the next moment? What are you doing to fuel your faith? God is gracious. When we realize we were unprepared and messed up the moment, Jesus responds, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." Jesus forgives all the moments we mess up. God chooses to not know us in our broken and messed up moments, for God chooses to know us as the wonderful person we are becoming. We are to keep awake, to keep trying again and again, for we do not know when the next pivotal moment will need our response. This fills me with great hope and a desire to nurture my faith. I can let go of my past because I will have more moments. If I seek God's wisdom, God will guide my thoughts. If I choose to be loving instead of fearful, grateful instead of wanting, awake living in the present, if I choose to be a servant, give my entire attention to what God is doing, to daily strive to follow God, then I am much more likely to get these moments right. A story is told about a skilled carpenter who worked for a very successful contractor. One day the contractor said, "I'm putting you in charge of the next house that we build. I want you to order all the materials, oversee the job from the ground up." The skilled carpenter accepted the assignment with great enthusiasm. But as he worked, he thought to himself, "Hey, I'm finally in charge. You know, I'm going to cut a few corners and use less expensive materials and pocket the money. No one will ever know." So he ordered second-grade lumber, put in cheap wiring, and skipped the insulation. He hired unskilled workers at minimum wage. A few cheap ornamental components added a finishing touch. When the home was completed, the contractor looked it over. He said, "Looks like an okay job. Now I have a surprise for you. I decided to give you this house as your compensation." Alex Vinder writes about today's parable of the unwise. If you have been careless or casual about your own faith and obedience, well, you will not have any. No one else can do the work for us when it comes to following Jesus wholeheartedly. There is no borrowing someone else's faith or wisdom. When we cut corners, it is our spiritual house that will falter in the storms of life. Wally Fletcher said, "The great dilemma of our faith is that the kingdom of God is always near and yet distant at the same time. The urgent question becomes what it means to live wisely and faithfully in this situation. The kingdom's distance is felt in the uncertainty of its arrival time and the darkness that falls in the meantime." In the parable, the problem was the delay. Often many of us become impatient over our imperfect lives and world, the slow pace at which God is perfecting all. When my mom was in hospice, in a great deal of pain, eager, begging to go home to heaven, I was frustrated by God's slow timing. Overwhelmed by my mom's pain, frustrated by the words and actions of a few others, I became exhausted, angry, and irritable. initially her sudden decline from a healthy, joyful visit to overnight being in intensive care caught me unprepared. As she lingered in a hospice, day after day, week after week, long, long after it was expected that she would enter life triumphant, again, I was unprepared. I had cultivated enough faith to keep me functioning, but not enough to be at peace. I had enough faith to know that God was with my mom and Austin was resurrecting my mom, but not enough for me to see where God was in that situation. At my mom's funeral, I was distracted in several ways. I missed several moments that could have been beautiful. Thankfully, I have wonderful family and friends and all of you, and their presence and your presence opened doors and showed me the way back to a celebration of life. N.T. Wright said, "Here is the mystery, the secret, one might almost say the cunning of the deep love of God. God's love is bound to draw onto itself the hatred, pain, shame, anger, bitterness, rejection, and death of the world. But to draw all those things onto itself is precisely the means chosen from all eternity by a generous, loving God by which to rid this world of the evils which have resulted from abuse of God-given freedom." Today's parable is repeated over and over again in our daily life. Shauna Hanan believes the parable illustrates the birth pains of the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven in our daily life. We will experience moments of darkness, but have hope, for light is coming. The closed door represents bad scenarios. God will open another door, providing a way to joyful celebration. The parable seeks to strengthen us, to sustain our faith that love will ultimately prevail. Shauna writes, "The last line is the key. Enduring, keeping awake, is trusting that the Savior will come after suffering, trusting that there will be something better, trusting that God, who is more powerful than all horrors, will be king." The parable prepares one to hear with new ears and see with new eyes that this bad scenario is not the end. The hearers are to compare their world with God's kingdom and derive hope that God will renew the world. Those who can hear and see will be transformed. They awaken. They remain awake. They recognize Jesus in the midst of their suffering. I have witnessed people of faith who have been sustained by God through a crisis, at peace during turmoil, grateful despite suffering. I have seen people unprepared struggle. I have seen people mess up a pivotal moment, but I have seen many of these same once unprepared people experience God, inspired to make a choice to nurture their faith, and they found God's wisdom and love and were ready to make the most of the next moment and were sustained through the next ordeal. We live in the midst of the struggle of the kingdom of God dispersing the darkness. At times, we will become impatient with God's timing. That will seem late to us. We will join the psalmist in prayerful crying, "How long, O Lord?" Nurture your faith, and you will be sustained. Nurture your faith, and you will make wise choices in the moments. Nurture your faith, so life will have more joyful celebrations. Amen.